I have with me today photocopies for all of you from an incredible book. I think I've told you about this book. Take one, pass it on. Okay, I think I've told you about this book before I give out the other sheets. This book is called Seder HaKorot B'Tanach. It was written by a man named Eliezer Shulman. Okay. Yeah, one second. It's one sheet only, so take one and pass it on. Okay. He went to Israel. He lived in Russia somewhere. Okay. I think he worked in a ministry in Israel of like the defense ministry or something. Okay. If you look at the book, just to show you, it's an incredible book of handwritten charts, graphs, and descriptions.
Wow.
Of all the different things that appear in Tanakh.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're getting. I mean, it's just incredible. It's very, very impressive. You can see it just goes through.
What beautiful penmanship.
One gets interested in the font, maybe. I don't know. But it looks like it's in handwritten, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's highly recommended. It also, it's printed by the Israel Ministry of Defense, and I can only order it online in Russian. So I decided not to order the Russian version. There apparently is an English version of it somehow, somewhere. But when I was in Israel, I didn't have time to go searching for it. I happen to have gotten this book on the lark for someone who knew about it as a bar mitzvah present. And about, 10 years later, I discovered it on my shelf and said, "Whoa, what's this?" And it turned out to be a beautiful treasure trove of incredible, and I'm a tardy guy. So you will find that it's much easier to follow the storyline when you have this information with you.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I didn't have time to scan it, but I will definitely scan it. And you see also that it's in this unusually large format, so it's kind of hard to squish down. But we'll find a way. Okay, today we're going to discuss the reign of Rehavam, and we're going to see what does the Navi tell us about his life, what does the Navi not tell us, and maybe we'll fill in some of the blanks with something from Divrei Hayamim, because the stories are relatively straightforward. Just as an introduction, I want today, hopefully, to do chapter 14, and then tomorrow, next week, we'll do chapters 15 and 16. Because I want to go through, there's a number of kings that they, this one, right, a bunch of kings together, we're going to hopefully get through, because the Navi doesn't give us that much information about them. And then after that, we can turn, chapter 17 is the story of Eliyahu HaNavi. We already turned to the story of Eliyahu HaNavi. What's that?
Before Pesach.
Oh, before Pesach. Good one. Okay, we'll have to tie it into Pesach. How much time? We have a good chunk of time before Pesach. Yeah,
5 weeks.
Okay. So. All right. I thought Purim was like a long way away. Turns out it's next week. What can you do? Okay. Ba'etahi. Remember, Yerabam. Why did I call it Rechavam? Oh, because I'm going to be Rechavam. Ba'etahi, at that time, Yerabam, remember, Yerabam ben Nebat is the king of Yisrael, of Israel, right? And God is not his biggest fan. Why is God not his biggest fan?
Sinning.
Right. In what way? Not only is he an idol worshiper, he is an idol inciter. Okay, he has incited the nation to do idolatry. Why? Because it's better for him. Obviously, when God asks us to make choices, he wants us to do what's better for God than for ourselves, and Yerovam does not make that choice. But at that time, Chala Avia ben Yerovam. This Avia, the son of Yerovam, got sick. Yeravam said to his wife, "Kumina, do me a favor, get up. Behistanot, change, right? Lesanot means, but behistanot means change yourself, disguise yourself. Velo yadu ki at eshet Yeravam, so they won't know that you are the wife of Yeravam. V'halach shilo, and you shall go to shilo. Hinesham achia hanavi." Behold, there is Achiah the prophet, who diber alai lemelech al ha'am hazeh. Right? He spoke to the king. He spoke about, remember when I didn't know what I should do, what I should be king. So Achiah was the one who said, "You're going to be the king of Israel." So he anointed me, or appointed me, however you want to say it. Go talk to him. V'lakachti biyadech asara lechem. You should take 10 bread, v'nekudim, v'makbuk dvash u'batelam, wafers, a bottle of honey. Go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the child. My question for you is, why does he tell her to disguise herself?
He doesn't want people to know that he's going to consult with the prophet.
Why?
Because he's seceded from him. He separated himself from them.
The prophet of Hashem.
Okay, so he doesn't want who to know?
The people that he's convinced to worship.
The people, right.
Well, also the prophet, because prophet who she is.
Because he's a prophet.
He's a prophet.
He's a prophet. Only if God tells him, he's not a prophet all the time, right?
Right. Let's look at, there's a couple of Mepharshim. Okay, I saw a couple of Mepharshim. Look at first Mitzudat David on page 144. Mitzudat David says, V'hishtanit, why should she change her clothes? Shni kesutech, change your clothing. L'man lo yadu haro'im asher at ishti. So that those who see you shall not see that you are my wife. Ki chashav, because he thought, pen kishiyedu, asher hi holechet el hanavi, right? Because he was afraid that when they find out that she went to the Navi, yachkeru ladat ma davarima, right? They would find out, well, what does she need to go to the prophet? It's not that she was afraid to go to the prophet.
What she was going about.
What she going about, v'hiyalo lemokesh, it's a weakness. Ah, his son is sick. Oh, what's wrong? What's going on? They're gonna. It's a weakness. But again, the Mitzudah says, why should she change herself? Because of what other people will say. Look at the Radak.
The bunch
of
yentas.
What?
A bunch of yentas.
A bunch of yentas?
Yeah, they don't know how to mind their own business.
You mean like America?
Yeah.
They didn't have the star and they didn't have
nothing
the poster.
Changed.
They didn't have the poster, the star.
America has, there's no greater glee in America than tearing down the people we build up.
I know.
Mm-hmm. We love building people up.
So today's news?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We love building people up, and then we love even more tearing them down. That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm shocked. Shocked that there's gambling going on in this establishment. Nobody gets that?
You don't get that? Of course I do.
Yeah.
Give me 10%.
Oh, not now, later.
Oh, okay.
Nobody gets that? Nobody ever saw Casablanca? That's a classic.
Oh, great movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah. What?
Casablanca?
Oh. I'm shocked that there's gambling going on here.
Yeah.
And then he behind his back.
Okay. Right. So, obviously, the people would want to tear down poor Yeravam. He's trying to trick. What did he do wrong? But look at Mitzudah. Mitzudah says, Yishtanit. Why? Mephishu yada ki achia hayashoneoto. He knows that the prophet hates his guts. Why does he hate his guts? If he should sign me Achare Hashem. Why does he hate his guts? Because, you know, I'm the prophet of God, and you basically have done the exact opposite. Okay? There's another reason we're going to see why Achia hates his guts. Amar Belibo, Im Nada Achia Shehi Ishti, right? If he knows that he's my wife, Lo Yitnabe Li Ki Imra. All he, what's he going to tell me?
Bad news.
He's only going to prophesy bad. But Fikach Amar Li Ishto Shetistaneh. Therefore, he said to his wife that she should tishtaneh.
Change.
Why? Kedei Shelo Yakira Ki Ishto Shel Yeravam. Right. So that he would know that she's Yeravam. Shetikach Umasha Amar La. Right. And what did he say? Shetikach Asara Lechem Ukiyim Abug Dvash. Why did he say to take the bread and what? Yeah. Why did he say that?
Honey and bread.
Well, what's the purpose of the bread and the honey?
To bribe.
I'll give you $50,000 if you'll make me a Kohen.
Why do you want to be a Kohen?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The mincha l'navi. It was an offering. Ki kein haya min hagam. That, by the way, it's not a bribe. That's their... No, I have the same question. When I went the first time, well, not the first time, when I went on a trip to Israel with the young Israel, so it was like a Rebbe trip kind of. It was run by the Ger Hasidim, and they wanted to show us their mosques. Very beautiful, amazing things that the Gerers do. Just amazing hospital work and yeshivas and chesed. Amazing work. But the first thing they did, of course, if the Ger brings in a bunch of rabbis from America, what's the first thing we're going
to
do?
Go to the Ger Rebbe.
Right. So we went, and each one got to like meet him for a second, and like all of a sudden, all these rabbis sit down, and they're like, They immediately know what to do. They sit down and they're like writing things on a piece of paper, and I'm sitting there like, I don't know what to do, you know. But, you know, and the custom when you go to the Rebbe, right, and you have a request, you want to give you a bracha.
Yeah,
and what's the kvittel in?
Yiddish.
Try again. And what's the Hebrew kvittel that you wrote down in?
Yiddish.
No, not what language it is it in. What's it inside of?
Check.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. No. And customarily, that way it was explained to me. It always is. And then they don't see that as...
The youngest of rabbis.
No.
Not their
people.
100%.
Absolutely not.
They're Gerim? Absolutely 100%.
Not. And they don't... And you know,
I'm Gerim.
What? No, it's not just Gerim. It's any Rebbe. You go to the Rebbe, you give him a gift.
Not the Rebbe. Maybe you give
his gabbai?
Gabbai or somebody. You know.
See what I know. See, I don't even know who to give it to. But you give it.
They took it anyway.
Yeah, I didn't give it. I didn't know. I didn't give it. I didn't know, but my bracha didn't happen anyway, so maybe I didn't put, you know,
uh-oh.
I mean, whatever. You know? But I don't think it was a bribe. It was understood. You know, it's always
it's better to come with something than with nothing.
Yeah, maybe give the gabbai to someone.
What?
When, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
When Yaakov...
And by the way, I'm not saying that's expected.
Yeah, but
I think it's expected.
When Yaakov... What? No.
Hold on, we'll get there. Very good. Hold on a second. Very good. Yeah, very good. Okay. Kikein haya min hagam. That was the custom. And I think that's still the custom. Shayu ba'im mishal mehanavi. When you ask the Navi, the prophet, hayu mivim lo mincha? Right? And they would bring an offering. Kemo sh'amar b'sha'ul v'na'aro ma'navi la'ish. Right? When they said, remember, what did they go to the Navi for? Why did they go to the prophet? Anybody remember why did Sha'ul go to the prophet? You remember? No one knows. Why did Sha'ul go to the prophet? It was before he was the king. What did he go to the prophet for? He lost his goats. They couldn't find the goats. So they said, let's go to the Navi to go find our goats, our cattle. They're lost. The Navi will tell us where to find it. What do you mean? They went to the prophet of God because they lost something and the prophet would tell them where to find it.
Okay.
Yeah. People would go to... Where else would you go?
Looking for...
They looked. They couldn't find it. Where else would you go to find something that who else would know other than the man of God? But they said before they went, well, we don't have anything to give him. What should we give him? You can't come empty-handed. What?
Challah
and honey. Must have been Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So according to the Mitzvah, we learn the reason why she changes her clothes is for the people. That the people won't see who she is when she goes to ask the Navi. The reason, according to the Radak, why does she change her clothes?
So that the Navi wouldn't recognize.
So the Navi wouldn't recognize. What's the problem?
The Navi's blind.
No. What's the problem?
Well,
aside from the fact that Navi's blind.
That's
weird.
He certainly would be able to know who she is.
The Navi wouldn't know her personally anyway, except by her clothes she was wearing.
Okay, better, bigger problem.
And he would find the Zohar.
Yeah, right. He's supposed to be the prophet of God, right? That he knows all and that he's going to tell her the future. But at the same time that I'm asking him to tell me what's going to be with my son... Right? I'm expecting him not to know who I am.
It's ridiculous. It's not reasonable.
What? Is it reasonable? So what is... The question is, A, is it reasonable? And B, if it is reasonable, what does that tell you about a prophet? What are you asking for?
Well, she obviously doesn't have that much belief in him.
Well, if she doesn't have belief in him, then...
So why is she going?
Why is she going?
Well, it's her husband that's going.
Okay, but her husband told her to dress up. So does he believe in the prophet? I think he does.
He must,
right? Then why? Who's he fooling? So there. I mean, to me, on face value, there's a certain irony. That on the one hand, he goes to the prophet for a bracha, but he doesn't even believe that the prophet will know who it is who's coming to ask who for the bracha.
Have to imagine maybe he's desperate. His son is sick. You know, maybe he tried everything else.
I'm sure he did.
You know,
right?
He's desperate.
Desperate.
And when you're desperate,
okay, desperate times call for desperate measures. If you want to go to the prophet of God and you think that the prophet of God can help you and you know he's ticked off at you, what desperate measure possibly could you do? Oh, there's that. If you go to the prophet of God, what does he want from you? Does he want your bread? What does he want? He wants your bread. He's hungry. So now he eats your bread. Now what does he want? Your Rambam, do me a favor, say you're sorry at least. Feel bad. Come to me and I say to God, if you believe that I can give you a bracha, do something. Show some contrition. Don't try to trick me. Yeah, but what does your Rambam do? Don't tell him who you are. Maybe you can chaf a bracha. He won't know any better. Our son will get better and nobody will be the wiser.
Okay.
Now ask your question.
The same thing happened with Yitzchak.
Right.
When he was getting ready to give the bracha to
Esav. Right.
He said, go and bring me something so that
I can bring you. Very good. There are some obvious parallels between the bracha of Yitzchak and the bracha that Yerubbaal is trying to get. Yitzchak was
blind.
Right. And we see here that Achiyah was also blind. We didn't read it yet, but Achiyah was also blind. Right? Yaakov steals a bracha, quote unquote a bracha, that doesn't belong to him, and then he gets to keep it, in a sense. So maybe there is that sense that when a tzaddik gives a bracha, right? But the trick though is, why do we teach our children that God led the way, that Yaakov, I mean obviously it wasn't just a mistake, that we believe that there's some kind of divine path. That's right. The dimension that's leading us along the way that intended for Yaakov to get that bracha. So as yet, Yerubbaal thinks he's going to get it. He really thinks he's going to trick. It's just interesting to think that the man he thinks who is seeing the future can't even see in front of him enough to know who the woman in front of him is.
So,
how much faith does he really have in the prophet?
So the question is, if he can't see, what difference does it make what she's wearing?
So then it makes more sense to go by what the Mesirat Zavit said. That it's really for the people, not for the person.
Maybe he didn't know he was blind. Radak would have to say he didn't know. Right?
Either way, it's still...
No, but Radak says it's to trick the Navi.
Okay.
He didn't know, maybe he was totally blind or what have you. Okay.
Isn't it possible also that in order to give a bracha before the Yitzchak would have been given a nevuah aside, but the predisposition... The disposition of the Navi has something to do with it. If he's in, the Shina is not going to maybe
grant it
or rest when someone who is full of anger and is not in a certain situation.
Oh, I see. So maybe it would put him out of his anger if he thought it was somebody else. Maybe.
Yeah, at least initially. And then he would be.
I understand what you're saying, but I just think that if you're trying to trick the Navi, that you really, what kind of bracha are you going to get? You know, the thing they say about the Hasid Sherebis, about the brachos, is it only works on one condition.
Get your bowl.
That's right. That's right.
I know.
And maybe that was my problem. I just didn't do anything for me. I'm not in that mindset. But if you talk to Hasidim about the Rebbe, you know, it's the Rebbe. Okay. Very good. They'll tell you stories. You know, so I think that just highlights sort of Yerubbaal's mindset. Right? Maybe he'll try anything. Sure, he'll try anything, but this thing you can't try unless you actually believe it's going to help. Okay. Batash came, Pasuk Dalet. Batash came, Eshet Yerubbaal. Yerubbaal's wife did so. Batakah batelech Shiloh. She got up went to Shiloh. Batavo beit Achiyah. V'achiyah lo yachol ero. Ki kamu einav nisevo. Right, and Achiyah could not see. Why? Because his eyes had gotten old from his old age. Look on your sheet. Okay, look at the language of the other sheet. There's another sheet marked lying around here. Did you guys get the second sheet? Here. Take the sheet. There's the second sheet. Page 1. Source number 1. Okay. Achiyah lo yachol lirot. Why did Achiyah become blind? So the Mishnah says the following.
I stopped.
Kol hamamid ben rasha o talmid rasha. Anyone who has an evil son or an evil student. Sof she'enav kehot. In the end, his eyes will become dim. Okay, talmid rasha. So where do we learn that a person has an evil student? Me'achiyah shiloni. From Achiyah. Why? Because it says that Achiyah lo yachol lirot. Ki kamu einav nisevo. His eyes went up or were darkened in his old age. Why? The Midrash says, Shehamid et Yerubbaal talmid rasha. The Yerubbaal, his student, went bad.
Oh boy.
So it was like a rachmanis on him that he shouldn't see his student who he educated, he appointed to be the king, and look at what happened to him. You know, it's a very interesting question. So I was looking at Ariel. Ariel has a very beautiful thought about this issue, about the blindness of blindness when a teacher becomes blind. So he says the following. He says, blindness, sometimes, the Midrash says, can be the result of a bad student. But in addition, blindness can be the cause of a student going bad. Why? Because very often, if you have an excellent student, right, an outstanding student, you tend to overlook the flaws that you know are there because the student is such an unbelievable, proud student, a positive student. Right, so Achiyah saw the potential in Yeravam. Now, remember, Nevuah prophecy isn't just divine inspiration. There is personal input as well. Right, the Navi has an input on the prophecy. And so he has this prophecy, and he has the power to sort of, I wouldn't say shape it, but direct it in a certain way. And he has all these high hopes, and he says, Achiyah, I see this prophecy, Yeravam, I have this prophecy about you being a great king in Israel, a powerful leader in Israel. And he's overlooking the fact that Yeravam, even though he stood up to Shlomo HaMelech, there was still some, self-interest or self-aggrandizement or what have you. So the blindness is possible. It's possible for the blindness to be both the result, a blessing in a sense, that he doesn't see the evil of his student, but the reason he becomes blind in the end, says Rav Ariel, is because what caused that is blindness in the beginning.
So and two different kinds of blindness.
Yes, and the parallel, very powerfully, is an excellent parallel of Yitzchak. Right? Why does Yitzchak becomes blind in his old age? Right? So his why? Not to see Esau. But the problem was, we're reading the Chumash, and we know in hindsight, but we know what Esav is. Well, we know Esav is a brute, and he's a hunter, and he's, we see him dealing with his brother, and he's willing to sell his birthright. We know what kind of person he is.
But he's a good actor.
How can we see a good actor? Do me a favor. I mean, you have children, thank God, right? Right? I mean...
Yeah, but Yitzchak didn't really know. He chose not to know.
Oh, come on.
Because he saw his great potential.
What?
As you said, his great potential.
Could anybody envision having a son like Yitzchak? If the Yitzchak was really the Yitzchak, the Midrash describes. That's what the Midrash describes. Esav was.
Yeah.
Like, how could a parent not know? Any parent who doesn't, like if your child is really in trouble and you have no idea, well, that means you're not paying attention. Sometimes a parent can't have much to do about it, can try and make an effort and do whatever they can and know, and the child still doesn't respond. But that's very different than seeing a child in trouble, and no idea. He had no idea that he was out, look.